which means it's time. 31 days, 31 podcasts.
31 days, 31 podcasts.
It's helpful, so well done to me.
Hey everybody, welcome. We've got another Potoween episode today. So here's the thing. This one starts with a killer and then ends with a twist. So here we go. Maybe you've heard of this guy, Maury Troy Travis. He was a serial killer who was operating in the early 2000s, basically. So here's the situation. Basically, he was kind of a normal guy, which is sort of an interesting thing about these serial killers. I just saw this thing about the mass murderer in, like, Vegas. And this guy was talking about, like, everyone's going to be looking through this guy's life to figure out, what's so different about this guy? Why did this guy do it? And this person on the TV was saying, people are going to be doing this because they always do, and they're not going to find anything. Like, these aren't usually extraordinary people, other than, you know, they do this one crazy thing. But they're usually not someone where it's like, oh, okay, well, he had a single mom. There you go. They're very, like, nondescript average people. And that was kind of the case of Maury Travis, right? Like, all his neighbors described him as quiet and wouldn't hurt a fly and yada, 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 yada. One interesting difference, he's one of the few black serial killers. So there you go. Here's what happened. He was killing drug addicts and prostitutes in St. Louis, Missouri, and kind of across the border in Illinois. And although the police suspected there was a serial killer at work, they didn't want to say anything. So basically, there was, like, no attention being paid to it, nothing going on. And so at that point, Travis sent a map to the authorities where it showed where a woman's body was. And they went out there, took a look, and sure enough, they found a skeleton of this woman who's still unidentified at this point. Now, at this point, this guy claimed he had killed about 17 people. And what happened was they caught this guy. It's kind of some interesting internet sleuthing. But basically, they found this map on, like, I can't remember what site it was he used. But he used this site to make a map. And they could talk to the ISP in the area and be like, all right, who accessed this map? Like, who downloaded this map recently? The ISP turned it over, and then bam, they could find out who it was. So they arrested him, and he said he knew why the police were there, but he would not make a confession or anything like that. And then 3 days after getting in jail, he hung himself, despite being under suicide watch. All it says is that he... I read this, like, you know, a couple different sources, and the only thing I could find of how that happened was it said that the people trained to do suicide watch didn't show up that day. And you're like, all right. Well, that doesn't look good. So once they arrested him, they investigated his home. They found blood splatters. They found ligatures and belts and stuff with blood all over them. And they found videotapes inside the wall. And these tapes showed Travis, engaging in bondage and weird sex with women, and then what appears to be at least 2 killings, right? Now, we're not judgmental here. If you want to engage in some bondage and stuff in your regular life, that's fine. But when that bondage spills over into murder, obviously, I'm going to go ahead and feel good about calling that weird. Sorry. So on the tape, it shows various women, but only one of them has actually been identified. You can also see the basement where Travis lived, which had been modified into a torture chamber, basically, and was probably where most of his victims ended up dying. So they can kind of peg about 7 murders on him, even though his letter claimed 17. And there are other murders that fit his pattern, and it's possible he was involved in some other things when he lived in another area. It's hard to say. But basically, you know, the cops have been trying to watch these tapes, figure out what's going on, all that shit like that. So here's where it gets really good, though. So you've got this killer. He's gone now. He's arrested. He's dead. And then cut to, you know, a little bit later, and there's this lady who becomes, who, like in 2014 or something like that, 12 years later, right? This lady rents a house. And she said that the landlord never told her that this is the house where our good friend Maury Travis probably killed all those people, had the tapes in the wall, and converted the basement into a torture chamber. Not only, and to be fair, one could say, well, this is a fucking landlord. They have nothing to do with it. But it turns out the landlord is Sandra Travis, who is Maury Travis's mom. So what happened is Sandra rented the house to this other woman, Katrina, and was like, enjoy. Katrina's living in this house for a little while when one of her friends says, you got to watch this documentary on serial killers. Like, just, I don't want to talk about it. Just fucking watch it. She watches it, and Maury Travis is one of the people profiled in there. And then she says, holy shit, that is the house I'm living in right now. So I guess Katrina asked Travis's mother to get out of the lease, but Travis told her that she had mentioned the backstory before she had signed the lease, which Katrina says was not true. And I guess I tend to believe her. I tend to believe, you know, seems like something that would stick in your memory. Seems like something you might just remember. And so basically, someone from the St. Louis Housing Authority helped negotiate an end of the lease because the landlord was not willing to break the lease at first, but then basically they did. And what's interesting is in Missouri and in most other states, there is no duty to disclose. So in other words, some states require, like, if I'm selling a house and there was a murder there, I have to say. You know, or if there was, like, weird, you know. There's an image from one of the videos. It's kind of this post that's in the basement. And there's a woman who's, like, tied to the post, you know, and, like, fairly undressed and clearly about to be murdered, right? And so you're like, holy shit. This, there it is. Like, she's got it. There's a beam in the basement. Let's call it a beam. And, you know, this lady basically has like a couple easy chairs next to the beam in the basement. And they watch TV. So it's like, oh, okay. So we're just sitting here watching TV and this woman was murdered basically right at my feet. Which is like, it begs the question, though. It begs the question of like, hey, wait a second. If I was renting an apartment, and where I was renting this apartment, it was required to disclose whether or not this had happened there. And if someone said, listen, there was a murder here, so I'm going to give you 30% off of the rent because I can't get this place fucking rented because no one wants to live in the murder house. It begs the question, would I say, forget it, or would I say, make it 45 and you got yourself a deal? Like, how cheap would something have to be for me to live in a murder house? I mean, when you think about it, and this is me justifying it, of course, like, if you think about it, probably most homes have had someone die in them, if not be murdered. But certainly most places have had someone die. I mean, this is like renting an apartment. Although, I don't know, maybe renting an apartment is safer. I mean, there's been more people there. But I feel like apartment dwellers tend to be a little younger, right? It's like if you're living in senior housing, that's when you know. That's when you know you're fucked and someone died in there. They're like, no, we're not going to give you a discount because someone died in here. We can't. All our rooms would be at a discount. Anyway, I don't know. It's a good question to ponder, I feel like. It's a good, like, what if? Would you take, like, you know, you get an amazing apartment for a really good price, guaranteed, locked in, but you know it's the murder place? Part B of that question, I guess, would be something like, all right, I find this out. I'm moving into a place and Poon Master Flex is going to move in with me. Do I tell her? I think I'd have to, but I wouldn't want to because what if she says no? Then I'm like, but hold on. Check this out. Gas fireplace. And I fire it up and it's like, okay, still no. Then I say, well, that wasn't involved in the murder. You know, this walk-in kitchen was not involved in the murder. Look at these closets. There was a body in here, but it was on the floor. Just don't keep your shit on the floor. Whoa. Okay. Well, the music popped in, so I guess we're done. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.